I don't want you to run away after church service today, because Blake will be up here to meet you and help you, lead you into the kingdom of God today. I'm going Baptist on you this morning, okay? That's what the Baptist people would say. And deep down, I am a Baptist. I know Llewellyn is here too, and there's probably others around here that they don't want to confess that, but it's okay. We're Christians. We're in the family of God. So, and we're trying to bring others into the family of God, and so I'm not going to apologize for that this morning, because the truth of the Bible is so, it rings more clear during the Christmas season than any other time of the year. And maybe Easter ranks right up there, obviously. But the fact that God would give his most precious son as a gift to sinful mankind, to allow us to carry out what we did to him, but it was all part of God's plan. So that we, if we believe in him, shall have eternal life. But the book of John, and he tells us that the true light that sheds a revealing light on everyone did, in fact, come into the world. And the thing is, this world that he came into was the world that he made. Think about that for a second. It says in the Bible that the cosmos, the world, the universe was made through him and by him and for him in Colossians. So he was outside of creation and he came into his own creation to save humanity. Verse 10 of John chapter 1. He was in, and here's the thing. So he came into the world, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, it says a sad fact, we did not recognize him. The world did not recognize him when he came. That's right there is a tragedy. Jesus came to Elmont, he came to Dryden, he came to Detroit and Romeo and the surrounding communities. Every one of them, he came to you and me. And as verse 3 says, through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. So the creator of the universe enters his own creation. Therefore, when he came to the world, he came to his own. By the right of the fact that he is creator and we are creation. We are his own. And it says in verse 11, he came to that which was his own. He came to what belongs to him. He came to his own possession, his own domain. He came to the house of humanity, and he said, this is the place where he wants to set up a dwelling place for himself, to be in the hearts of man. But verse 11 goes on, but his own did not receive him. Think about that. What if my kids are going to grow up and soon, maybe they'll actually leave the nest. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. But one of them did, so praise the Lord for that. But what if I knocked on Courtney's door and she would not let me in? She said, I do not recognize. I don't know who you are. Go away. Wouldn't that be sad? Wouldn't that be tragic? That, for me, it would be. My own flesh and blood would say, I don't know you. But that's how it is, how many people have rejected the Christmas story and rejected the Son of God. See, we rejected him many ways. When the department stores put up their signs and say "Season's greetings," there's nothing about Jesus in there. Yesterday, when Daryl and I were thinking about, hey, we should have some music on the flow. You know, we thought, oh, we could go silent. That's okay. There'll be lots of music blaring out there. But then I said to myself, you know what? I want music on my float because my music is going to say something about Jesus, okay? All the other songs out there, as happy as they are, and I like to sing them too, the different Christmas songs, they don't say a lot about Jesus. They all talk about what I want for Christmas. So I wanted to make sure there was some Jesus music in the parade. I don't know if you heard it or not, but at least I was walking by the float. I could hear it. But we reject him in the stores because we're afraid to say Merry Christmas. We've got to say Season's Greetings. We've got to say Happy Holidays. We have to say, we put an X in front of Miss. Call it Xmas. And we, you know, the secular marketing, they've exploited Christmas to sell their merch. I'll say merch, that's the new kind of. Thousands of knickknacks and baubles are bought every year, but they forget about the baby in the manger. He came to his own, and his own received him not. We need to, this is truth here, okay? I'm talking truth. And don't crucify me, okay? Because I'm just saying, this is the word of the Bible, okay? This is not something I'm making up. I'm just reading the Bible and interpreting the Bible for you folks. And that's what it says. We received him not. This is the verdict, John writes. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness more than the light. Everyone who does evil hates the light. He will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. Nobody wants to have their deeds exposed. That'd be embarrassing. That'd be humiliating. That would be disgraceful. Well, we'd run, we hide and run into the darkness to not be exposed, that sort of stuff. And we hear stories all the time, don't we, of people, oh, that person, he was such a good neighbor, and I can't believe that happened. You know, he did that, or she did that. You know, why do we, well, maybe we didn't know him too well. It's good to know your neighbor. Good to understand them. But anyway, the light came, Jesus, John calls Jesus the light. He came to his own, but his own was in love with the darkness, so they did not receive the light. Yet, and here's I love that little word there, yet, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, it says he gave them the right to be children of God. We have that opportunity sitting right in front of us today. I did it many years ago. So I don't know how many, I can't even count how many years back now. I became a children of the living God. It's the best decision I ever made. But here's the interesting thing about that, though. This means that if you're not a child of God, if you rejected the light, you're not a child of God. That's the harsh reality of the words of God. In other words, God, even though God is the creator of all humanity, that doesn't mean we're all children of God. We are creations of God, but you cannot be a child of God until you put your faith in God's Son Jesus. That's what the Bible says. John, in chapter 8 of John, it says, if God were your father, you would love me. God is not everyone's father. And a test of who is our father is, if God is our father, the test is, do we love his son? Do we know his son? Do we want to honor and serve his son? I want you to fix this question in your mind this morning. This is a very important question. Do not leave here without answering this question. Not everyone is a child of God. Am I a child of God? I want you to ask that about yourself. Ask it to yourself right now. Not everyone is a child of God. Am I a child of God? Do I believe in Christ's Son? We can go through our lives and have this vague idea that God is out there somewhere, this supernatural being, but we've never tried to understand God's Son and who he is. It says Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. That's one of the reasons Jesus came to earth. And so that as we learn and have a relationship with Jesus, God's Son, we learn about the Heavenly Father. So Jesus says in John chapter 8, 34, 36, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone has to have a master, right? We decide, is sin going to be our master? Or are we going to look to God and have him be our master? But God wants not just to be our master, he already is because he made us. But he also wants to be our father. And here's the thing, the Bible says, a slave has no permanent place in the family. He's just a slave. But a son or a daughter of God belongs to God forever. You see, there's the temporary and there's the eternal here. So it says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. What's at stake this morning is your eternal life. If you remain a slave to sin, then that is a... you will be a slave to sin forever unless you make God your father. The question I'm asking this morning, not everyone is a child of God, am I? And now add to that, not everyone will have eternal life. You cannot have eternal life with God unless you are a child of God. Now remember, I'm not pulling this out of thin air. I'm just reading my Bible. And this is what it tells me in the book of John. Some people will say, well, you say that sort of stuff, and well, you're being very narrow-minded and you're not being tolerant. Well, that's not me speaking here. I'm just translating the words or conveying the words that God has for us this morning. So if you have a gripe, don't gripe at me. Take your gripe to God. And he'll have an answer for you, by the way. If you become a child of God, it says you become an heir of all that God owns. That's pretty cool, isn't it? We become fellow heirs. We become brothers and sisters with Christ. And we become heirs of God. And whatever God owns, we get to be, we partake in that. In the resurrection, everything that exists will be ours, and God will care for us and will make us infinitely happy in his presence. That is promise. But if you do not become a child of God, the Bible says that we are under judgment. We are under the judgment of a holy, perfect God who cannot, you know, his new creation will be completely, you know, there'll be no sin in it. Everything will be perfect. There will be no slaves in the age to come, only children of the living God. There will be a resurrection. Everybody will be resurrected. Those who will be resurrected to eternal life with God, and those who are resurrected to face the judgment that God has. Now, that's very ominous, right? You don't want to be on that side. So the question I want to ask is, how do we become a child of God? That's important. Because I believe there's a miracle going to happen today. I believe Blake's going to come up here today, and I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know that for sure. But I'm just saying, someone is going to push aside and say, you know, I've lived my life. Pride has gotten in my way, and I don't like what the Bible says, and I'm going to ignore it. But I believe today someone is going to finally say to themselves, you know, I've had enough of that in my life. I'm ready to venture out with God. And that doesn't mean everything is going to be all of a sudden perfect in your life. It doesn't mean everything is going to be a bed of roses or it's very peachy. It just means that you're on a new adventure, but God has you in his hand and you are now a child of God. Wouldn't you want to be a child of God today rather than a child of the world? What does that give you? Being a child of the world, what does that give you? Gives you a lot of maybe temporary satisfaction, but in the end it gives you no hope and no joy. So what would have to happen this morning to make you become an heir of God, a child of God? Two things. It's very simple, actually. Two things. Two conditions to become a child of God. Number one, you have to receive Jesus. And you have to believe in Jesus. You know, you might think, well, those sound very similar. Well, they are. They're interconnected. In verse 12 of John chapter 1, but to those who received him, who believe in his name, he gave authority to become children of God. So, if you do become a child of God today, be aware of something, that there's going to be all these voices coming into your head that say, you don't deserve it, you shouldn't be it, you're not supposed to be that it's all a joke, it's all a myth, it's all a whatever. But that's just the lies, okay? Receiving Jesus means that when Jesus offers himself to you, you welcome him. You recognize him as who he is. Who he is for your life and what he is, what he means to you. When he comes to you as a Savior and says, I am going to save you from your sins, you welcome him as a Savior of your soul. When he comes to you and says, I want to lead you into better, into the paths of, you know, green pastures and calm waters and still waters, accept his leadership. When he comes, he says, I'm going to provide you with a new church family, and I'm going to fill your house full of wonderful blessings, and you're going to have recognize him and receive him as the provider of that sort of stuff. You know, we might think, oh, you know, I worked hard for my money, and well, who gave you the mind? Who gave you the physical ability? Who gave you that personality and the characteristic you need to carry out those functions to do your job? That's God. When he comes to you and he gives you counsel through his word, you receive him as the counselor. When he protects you, when you walk off the curb and all of a sudden you get a car's ready to swipe by and all of a sudden he pulls you back, he is your provider in so many ways. And so protector. And he's your king. He's my king. Receiving Jesus means taking Jesus into your life for who he is and what he's done. And it's not just kind of this thing where you say, well, you know, yes, I'll ask Jesus. He can come live with me in my house now. Just, you know, just don't interrupt me in my activities or my agenda. I'll tolerate you. You can, you know, you don't bother me. I won't bother you. Everything will be peaceful. That's not the kind of reception Christ wants from us. He is looking. He wants to have, we're going to have to follow him in the good times and the bad times. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. All spoke well of him when Jesus began his preaching ministry in Nazareth, his hometown. They spoke well of him, and they wondered about his gracious words and that came out of his mouth. They go, wow, this guy he's amazing. The things he says. But a few verses later, they are filled with wrath toward him. They want to take him to the top of the cliff and push him off. The same people that were just a few verses earlier were just rejoicing and praising him. You see what happened is he poked their pride a little bit. He said, and he could see, Jesus could detect their unbelief. And he didn't want them to stay in their unbelief. He wanted them to believe. So he's going to have to mix things up and get them agitated a little bit, stir up their soul. So when Jesus says, receive me, it's not some peaceful coexistence that's supposed to happen and then you go on with your life as it is. No, he's making claims on our life. He wants to be involved in your home, in your school, in your work, in your marriage. And so the first condition is that we receive him. And the second is that we believe in his name. By all who received him, who believe in his name, He gives us the opportunity to be a child of God. So believing in Christ, believing in his name, that's pretty much synonymous with one another. Because when you believe in his name, you're believing in his stature, his dignity, his deity, his authority. So we need to receive and we believe. They're very closely connected. Now here's an interesting thing Jesus says in John chapter 5. He says, I have come to in my Father's name. So he does a lot of debating with the religious authorities of the day. He says, I've come in my Father's name and you did not receive me. You do not receive me. Yet if someone else comes in his own name, you will receive him. So he's making that point. How can you believe, you who receive glory from one another? You know, you kind of like, hey, these are my friends. These are my people. You know, I receive them. You see, what are we getting there? We're getting affirmation and praise from one another, humans. You know, we enjoy that fellowship. I enjoy that fellowship. You know, I'm walking up to somebody I already know, and I talk to them, and we kind of enjoy that conversation. But Jesus says, but I come and you do not seek the glory that comes from the only God. So in other words, to receive Christ is to you're receiving the glory of God. You're receiving the character of God. But they said, you didn't receive me. You can receive one another, but you can't receive me, and I'm from God himself. The point of this is that believing in Christ means that we have to stop with our pride and our self-exaltation and have a deep humbling. And say, okay, I receive you, God, because, well, first for who you are and because of the deep need I have. I have a very deep need in my life. I am a broken person. I like the darkness. I don't like the light. I mean, I do now, but I'm just saying we have to. We're broken. And we have to humble ourselves before and admit to ourselves that this whole idea of living without God is really an impossibility. We can go through the motions, right? But we're not going to have any permanent joy or satisfaction or purpose because we left out the most important person in our life, and that would be his son, Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. You see, he satisfies us. He is to satisfy us. Our every need. See, believing is a deep work in our heart. The Bible tells us it's not a mere agreement of doctrinal facts. It's like, well, I come to church and I realize that I need to be baptized or something like that. No, that's baloney. Belief is a work in our hearts, done by God alone. And it breaks us free from the craving of human praise. You know, yesterday when I found out, it's like someone first told me the initial report was, our float didn't win anything. It's like, what? How could we put all that time and energy for that 25-minute parade route. We put in 160 hours of man hours and for 20 hours. We piled a bunch of kids on there. How could they not love our float? But then I thought to myself, that's the praise of men. What really is important about that float is that maybe someone that watched it on the parade route thought to themselves, I never thought of it that way. Maybe I should go to church and check it out and find out what this is all about. If somebody did that, that was all worth that, all that time and energy and creativity and cost and all that stuff. That's what's important, not the praise of man. The praise that it might trigger in somebody's mind and in their heart and soul that says, I never thought about it that way. I should maybe go and find out about Christ. What does it actually mean to go to Bethlehem? But all who receive Jesus in their lives for who he really is, that satisfies the deepest needs in our life. So how do we become a child of God? Simply this. One, we need to be spiritually born. If we stay spiritually dead, then our spirit has not connected with God's spirit. And it says in here, that work of being spiritually born is an act of God. Not the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, John chapter 1, verse 13, but a work of God. Thank you. But there's two great obstacles in our way. One obstacle is that we're spiritually dead. We gotta take care of that. Only God can do that though. And so God sent his spirit to help us be born again. He sent us his spirit so that we could recognize the true savior of the world. And that because of that, we can pass over from death into life. And he overcame that first obstacle for us, our spiritual deadness. And then in perfect harmony with that, what did he do? He sent his son to remove the sin and the guilt from our lives. And then that means we are free to lay hold of the inheritance, which is meant for the children of God. Why would you... What if you got the winning lottery ticket and you looked at the numbers and they matched completely with the Powerball or whatever, and all of a sudden you could have, you were now $10 million richer? Would you take that little piece of paper and rip it up and throw it away? Well, it might be good for you not to. Probably would be good for you not to do that. I mean, to rip it up, because $10 million are going to mess you up. Okay, I'll tell you that right now. Not that I have no experience of that, but I'm just saying that'll probably ruin your life. But if you have the inheritance of God, wouldn't you just, wouldn't you turn that in, turn that ticket, that winning ticket in, and say, I want to collect on that eternal life? The glory of being with God forever in perfect harmony and unison. And wow. This is the great salvation for the people of God who receive and believe. It's full, it's free, it corresponds exactly to our need and our condition at the moment. That we are sinful mankind. We have to get rid of that. We are unspiritual. We love the darkness. Now, I want to tell you this, I want to warn you this. Let's say today you would make the decision to follow the Lord, to go on that great journey with Him. It's not going to be an easy one, okay? As a matter of fact, Jesus promises that along with the blessings and the benefits comes hurtful pain and persecution and all that sort of stuff, okay? But as it also says in the Bible, the glory of what awaits us far outweighs this world's tribulations and stuff, okay? So don't come to me if you follow the Lord and all of a sudden, yes, do come to me, but I'm just saying, if you come and start complaining about, well, the Bible says that was going to happen, okay? But we can do that. We can walk through that together too as well, okay? Maybe you'll end up with, maybe you'll have cancer. Maybe you'll get some other sort of crazy disease out there. I don't know what. But that's our tent. That's our body. That's our physical body. That isn't about our spiritual soul, okay? Our spirit will live with God forever. And when the resurrection happens, we'll be reunited with our body, even given a better body. And I can't wait for that day. Can't wait for a better body, okay? All right? And then that's going to be a glorious day. And then we're going to be reunited and be children of God forever, which is kind of almost unfathomable. I can't even begin to understand what eternity is. But it's something I'm willing to explore, and I'm going that way with God. So I hope you are too. So God in heaven offers us this morning, this very morning, the opportunity to become a child of God. Receive Him for who and what He really is, the Savior of the world. Believe in Him in a way that He's going to meet all your needs, your search for peace, your search for purpose, your search for joy, all these things. God is the source of that. All right. Now remember, Blake's coming up afterwards, so don't be bashful. I know your feet are going to be like, feel like they're nailed to the floor, okay, and you're not going to want to come up there. But you can become a child of God today if you haven't done that. I know many of you have. I'm preaching to the choir, but there's maybe someone out here. I want he or she to come at the end of the service. Blake will be here to meet with him.